There is a story told in India of a king who placed a large heavy stone right in the middle of one of the main highways to his city, then hid and watched to see what happened. People of various backgrounds came by and worked their way around it, some loudly blaming the king for not keeping the highways clear, but all dodging the work of clearing the road. At last, a poor man approached on his way to the town in the hope of selling his plain vegetables, which he'd brought in on a borrowed barrow. His way was blocked, and instead of going around, he paused, laid down his load, considered the stone, and then summoned the strength to roll it into the verge. Turning round, he saw a purse where the stone had been, and in the purse, 3 gold pieces, plus a note from the king saying it was for the one who would remove the stone. I was wondering if there was a direct application for us and our council to help improve the pothole situation. But I couldn't quite work out how it could be done. However, there is an indirect application. Because we can find our own ways to encourage quiet, humble, selfless public service. The council can't do everything, but it can do significant things to help everyone in a better direction. Actually, the word govern comes from the Latin, governo, and the original Greek before it, meaning to steer a ship. So those seeking to govern often feel that there's so much to do, not enough resources, too few tools to achieve it. And yet, on a ship, good steering, well done, makes a big difference to all. Leaders can't do everything, but doing some important things well helps everything in a better direction. And encouraging selfless love is one of those important things. You know, the sort of love your neighbour type love outlined in our first reading today, the one the mayor read, 1 Corinthians 13. You might like to have a look at it now. It's our custom in this church to look at the Bible readings as we try and make sense of them and how they might be worked out in our lives. It's on page 183 in the end bit of the Bible, the New Testament, the right-hand end, page 183, if you'd like to just follow and make more sense of things. It's a famous chapter, isn't it? Sometimes chosen by couples getting married here at church. But it's not just applicable to marriage, it's applicable to everyone. It's actually written to try and improve things in one of the churches, several of the churches in Corinth at the time. So it's page 183, 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm going to start reading at verse 4. The verses, numbers are the little numbers in amongst the sentences. This is the bit that's famous. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Selfless love, like that, lived out by people who are determined to carry on loving their neighbours, like that. Whether it's because those people want to obey what God says or because they just recognize that it's good to do. selfless love like that transforms communities for the better. I'm encouraged that our council in Poynton tries to encourage selfless love, service like this. And for example, today, there are the annual awards ceremony, where a handful of people who've done good things for others in our community, often unseen, often over a long period of time, often pretty thankless tasks, a few of those people each year are recognised and thanked publicly. It's only a token, a tweak of the rudder, but it's good. It encourages more selfless love of our neighbour, like the selfless love here in 1 Corinthians 13. This is selfless love, not self-centered, selfless. In verses 1 to 3, the previous chapter, the writer has warned against self-centered love. You know how some people like to do their public service with as much self-publicity as possible. It's not just Bill Gates, it's so many whose charity is loud and proud. And in verses 1 to 3, it says God is not so impressed. Because the Christians in Corinth, it seems, were a bit loud and proud about their helping of others. Can you see? I'll read verses 1, 2, and 3. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and angels but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, jarring, loud and proud. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Selfless love is not loud and proud. It's patient, kind, not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude, does not insist on its own way, does not rejoice in wrongdoing but rejoices in the truth, bears all things. Our society at the moment tends to be too impressed with love which is self-indulgent, which shows off, which makes big gestures, but often doesn't follow through. Our society tends to be much too impressed with all of that. But God is not so impressed. God knows that in the end, loud and proud love is often self-indulgent and does not help others as it often claims to. Selfless love is what counts. And that is what helps people turn their backs on wrongdoing and rejoice in what is right and true, whoever's saying or doing it. And it helps people put up with all sorts of rubbish, and yet keep going with what matters. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Selfless love like this is what matters. It's what matters in God's eyes. It's what matters for better neighborhoods. It's what matters for encouraging right and discouraging wrong, by good conscience and good example. I am concerned that our society is throwing away the helpful idea of recognizing right and wrong in association with this sort of selfless love. Instead, too many of our movers and shakers are defining right and wrong through rather dubious ideas of hate. Have you noticed? Some of our police and our prosecutors spend too much of their time trying to interpret unclear definitions of hate instead of concentrating on selfless love. And it's turning into versions of Orwellian Big Brother thought police. Our politicians and lawmakers are taking too much notice of pressure groups who have invented words like Islamophobia or homophobia or transphobia, which have gone beyond the rightful aim of highlighting crimes against high-profile minorities, and now want to label anyone who disagrees with their agendas as haters. Trying to define right and wrong for everyone through unclear and dubious ideas of hate, so unhelpful. It's divisive for our society, destructive for community. And we're a nation who knows better. We ought to know. It's so much better to understand right and wrong with the help of love, not hate, selfless love. Love your neighbour as yourself, type love. And as 1 Corinthians 13 goes on to say, selfless love lasts. Verse 8, love never ends. Everything else is transitory. Everything else comes and goes. Everything else is partial. That's what it carries on saying. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they'll come to an end. As for tongues, they'll cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. So everything else, transitory and partial, fashionable only for a season. And because of that, if we're wise, we read on, we need to be mature, verse 11. Mature about things and recognize what lasts and what comes and goes. Need to be mature, not childish. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, thought like a child, reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. Be mature enough to value what lasts, Paul is saying. And hold on to what lasts. Selfless love lasts. And actually, the chapter ends up by saying there are three things which last: faith, hope, and love. Faith lasts. It's at the center of the binding agreement between God and his people through the ages. Hope lasts in a way that cynicism and despair don't. And love lasts. Not hate or accusation of hate. Selfless love. That's what lasts. And it's the best thing for all. All in our society and all of us. I'll finish with the last sentence. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love.